Hello, let's do it again. It's time to improve your American English speaking skills. I'm Jim Tedder in Washington. Listen carefully, print the words we say, and download the audio. Then you can listen and read along over and over. Today we will talk about the American Space Agency as it helps people in Southeast Asia deal with weather problems. Then we have something for nature lovers. Some of the fastest animals on the planet have had scientists wondering how they can move like that and how much energy it takes. Weather in Asia and cheetahs are on this edition of As It Is. Satellite imagery from the United States is expected to soon begin helping about 60 million people in the lower Mekong River basin of Southeast Asia. The goal is to help the people deal with natural disasters and challenges of climate change. The project adds to existing programs of the National Aeronautics and Space Administration. As we hear from Jonathan Evans, NASA is currently helping communities in South America, Africa, and South Asia.
The U.S.-led project brings together the lower Mekong nations of Vietnam, Thailand, Laos, Cambodia, and Myanmar, formerly known as Burma. The area faces growing challenges from rising temperatures on our planet. Environmental activists say these problems include issues over water use, destruction of forests, floods, and disaster mitigation, reducing the effect of disasters. The United Nations Office of Disaster Risk Reduction says costs from natural disasters are rising. It also says that from 2000 to 2012, the estimated cost of climate-related disasters was $1.7 billion. The UN agency says 1.2 million people died in the disasters. Almost 3 billion others were affected. The U.S. development agency USAID will help support NASA in the 5-year project. They will work with local partners, including the Asian Disaster Preparedness Center based in Thailand. Gabriel Iglesias serves as a project officer with the Preparedness Center. She says the goal is to report to communities about changing conditions and help them use the information effectively.
This project will be addressing both those steps, the development of the tools to process the information, the satellite obtained data, and then to raise the capacity for decision makers to understand and interpret the results of these analyses for use in their own decision making over land use, environmental protection, adaptation, and so on.
USAID officials say the information will go to a number of experts. They include scientists, government representatives, national resource managers, and disaster response specialists. The officials say their purpose was to more effectively provide support to areas with the most immediate need after natural disasters. The costs of getting such satellite imagery have dropped sharply in recent years. That has made the data more easily available. Such information proves especially valuable immediately after natural disasters. In 2008, Cyclone Nargis struck the Irrawaddy Delta area of Myanmar. More than 130,000 people died in that storm. I'm Jonathan Evans.
You are listening to The Voice of America, and we are coming to you from Washington. In 1900, about 100,000 cheetahs lived in the world. Today, there are only 10,000 of the animals. Just about everyone knows that cheetahs are fast. Some studies have measured their speed at about 95 kilometers an hour. So it seems reasonable that all that sprinting would rob the wild cheetah of some of its energy. But until recently, no one ever really measured how much energy a cheetah uses to move that fast. We asked Bob Doty to give us the latest research.
John Wilson took part in the cheetah research. He says cheetahs can easily deal with those energy outbursts.
Like any cat, basically, they restful most of the day, and they have only brief periods of activity. So, for example, a cheetah would only hunt in the morning for a few hours, in the afternoon for a few hours. We assume they expend a lot of energy during these chases. They offset those high energy expenditures by resting for most of the day. So these blistering speeds that they run for short periods don't really have an effect on the cheetahs over the entire day.
But if the cheetahs are not out of breath or weak after the chase, what causes their population to decrease? Some experts say other predators, like lions or hyenas, might be stealing most of the cheetah's food after they make a kill. Dr. Wilson said the new study found that is not what really happens.
Our study has found that that's actually not really the case. Cheetahs lose about 12% of the food. So while they lose quite a bit of their food, cheetahs are pretty fast eaters, so they've eaten a lot of the food before they lose that food. The act of losing food is not that significant.
It appears that the cheetah is vulnerable to attacks by other animals because of its physiology, the way its body operates. The cat simply burns a lot of calories, the energy produced by food.
Because this cheetah have fast metabolism, they have huge lungs and a strong heart, their resting metabolic rate is really high. So just the act of walking already for a cheetah is pretty expensive. And then the longer they look for food, the more energy they need to invest in finding the food.
And he says that is the problem. It takes a lot longer for cheetahs to find animals they can catch and eat. And they have to walk a lot farther to do so. Mr. Wilson says that is because they naturally avoid people. But human beings are increasingly occupying the areas where cheetahs traditionally look for food. Houses and fences block them from searching for animals to attack. Cheetahs use up a lot of energy to get around these barriers. Mr. Wilson says that while this has not affected the number of cheetah cubs being born, it can affect their survival. He remembers seeing a female cheetah in a desert.
This mom is under stress already looking for food for herself. Then she needs to look for food for a cub. And if she needs to move further and further, the mother is under more strain, and then that puts even more strain on the cub.
He says people are also killing the animals that cheetahs hunt. People also capture and sell cheetahs in the Middle East as pets. However, the wildlife group Born Free USA says up to 70% of the cheetah cubs illegally transported through East Africa die. Earlier this year, the group called on members of the CITES Treaty to increase enforcement at borders and to improve laws and rules. Mr. Wilson says there are no easy solutions to help cheetahs deal with human activity, but fast action is needed. He says there is a 10% chance that the animals could disappear forever within 100 years. The U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service lists cheetahs as an endangered species, and the International Union for Conservation of Nature describes the cats as vulnerable. I'm Bob Doty.
And I'm Jim Tedder in Washington. This is VOA, the Voice of America.
Thank you.
The Agriculture Report is next, followed by Science in the News. You can read and listen to our programs and download MP3s at learningenglish.voanews.com. You can learn with us on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube at VOA Learning English.
From VOA Learning English, this is the Agriculture Report. As the weather cools across the United States, a growing number of Americans visit farms. They harvest apples, enjoy hay wagon rides, and walk in the fields. These people are called agritourists. They improve the economy of rural areas and help farmers increase their profits. School children are walking in a cornfield maze. The corn is cut into tricky passageways that make it difficult to find a way out. The children are from Yorktown Elementary School in Bowie, Maryland. They have traveled to Montpelier Farms in Prince George's County, which is also in Maryland. The farm is about 40 kilometers from the White House. Debbie Pearson is the student's teacher.
We go on these kind of field trips so that the children will have a hands-on experience of what it's like to be on a farm.
This was a good one? Yeah.
Amy Etsy Smith is visiting the farm with her children.
We come about once a year. Lots of fun. Yes, the kids enjoy it. This was her favorite part, was choosing the pumpkin.
When Mike Dunn opened the family farm to agritourists in 2008, he had only a corn maze, a pumpkin field, and hay wagon rides. But he says so many people visited that he soon increased the number of activities. He says he hopes he will someday make a larger profit from visitors than from farming.
Our agritourism revenue might be 30% of our entire farm income. We'd like to grow it to maybe one day be 60%.
Americans spent more than $700 million on agritourism activities in the United States in 2012. That is an increase of 24% from 2007. In Loudoun County, Virginia, there are farms where grapes are grown for use in making wine. Many of the farms let people visit and drink the wine that is made there. Bill Hatch owns the Zephaniah Farm Vineyard. He holds wine tastings in his home.
We're doubling the number of visitors to our farm every year. We have an average of 250 people on a weekend.
As more people visit farms, more farmers are adding activities in which visitors can take part. Malcolm Baldwin owns Weatherly Farm and Vineyard in Loudoun County. 6 years ago, he began letting people be married at his farm. They can also sleep at the farm overnight. Mr. Baldwin says the money he makes from these activities let him keep his small farm operating.
But without the animals and without the vines, the wedding business wouldn't be as profitable because people like to see the vines, they like to see the animals, and without which, I don't think this would be as popular a place.
And that's the VOA Learning English Agriculture Report. I'm Katie Weaver.
From VOA Learning English, this is Science in the News. I'm Steve Ember. Today, Barbara Klein and I tell about headaches, the pain that strikes almost everyone at some time.
Have you had a headache recently? If your answer is yes, you are like many millions of people worldwide who experience pain in the head. The pain can be temporary, mild, and cured by a simple painkiller like aspirin, or it can be severe. The National Headache Foundation says more than 45 million people in the United States suffer chronic headaches. Such a headache causes severe pain that goes away but returns later. Some headaches may prove difficult and require time to treat. But many experts today are working toward cures or major help for chronic headaches.
The U.S. Headache Consortium is a group with 7 member organizations. They are working to improve treatment of one kind of headache, the migraine. Some people experience this kind of pain as often as 2 weeks every month. The National Headache Foundation says about 70% of migraine sufferers are women. Some people describe the pain as throbbing, causing pressure in the head. Others compare it to someone driving a sharp object into the head. Migraine headaches cause Americans to miss at least 150 million workdays each year. A migraine can be mild, but it also can be so severe that a person cannot live a normal life.
One migraine sufferer is Curtis Crowley of Ellicott City in Maryland. He had head pain as a child. Mr. Crowley says he does not know what kind of headaches they were, but when he suffered severe headaches as an adult, doctors identified the problem as migraine. Today, Mr. Crowley produces and directs films and videos. He says months can pass without a headache, but then he will have 3 migraines within a month. If he takes the medicine his doctor ordered early in his headache, it controls the pain in his head. If not, the pain becomes extremely bad. Sometimes he has had to be treated with a combination of drugs in a hospital.
Some people take medicine every day to prevent or ease migraine headaches. Others use medicine to control pain already developed. Doctors treating migraine sufferers often order medicines from a group of drugs known as triptans. Most migraines react at least partly to existing medicine. And most people can use existing medicine without experiencing bad effects. Doctors sometimes use caffeine to treat migraine headaches. Interestingly, caffeine can also cause some migraines.
Medical experts have long recognized the work of the Mayo Clinic in Rochester, Minnesota. The Mayo Clinic says several foods are suspected of being triggers that start migraines. They include cheese and alcoholic drinks. Food additives like salt and monosodium glutamate also may be triggers. The Mayo Clinic tells patients to avoid strong smells that have seemingly started migraines in the past. Some people react badly to products like perfume, even if they have a pleasant smell. The clinic's experts say aerobic exercise can help migraine sufferers. Aerobic exercise increases a person's heart rate. It can include walking, swimming, or riding a bicycle. But a sudden start to hard exercise can cause headaches. So it is a good idea to perform some mild exercises before beginning activities that require more energy. The experts advise that people should plan to exercise, eat, and sleep at the same times each day.
The Mayo Clinic also has advice for women who suffer from migraines. The female body makes estrogen. Drugs like birth control pills contain a version of this chemical. Such drugs may produce headaches or cause them to worsen, the clinic warns. But they can also cause an easing of headache pain. The same is true for estrogen replacement drugs for women. Doctors sometimes order estrogen replacement for women who are no longer able to have children.
The Mayo Clinic says there are alternative or non-traditional ways to treat migraine. Among them is acupuncture, in which thin needles are placed below the skin at defined areas. The clinic says another method, biofeedback, is especially effective for migraine. In biofeedback, patients use special equipment to learn how to observe and control physical reactions linked to stress. Some people get help from massage, systematic rubbing of the body. Others use herbs, minerals, or vitamins.
More people suffer tension headaches than migraines, but most tension headaches are not as powerful. Events that start tension headaches may include emotional pressure and the deeper-than-normal sadness called depression. Other tension headaches can start from something as simple as feeling tired. Common changes in atmospheric conditions also can be responsible. The Mayo Clinic says you may feel a tension headache as tightness in the skin around your eyes, or you may feel pressure around your head. Episodic tension headaches strike from time to time. Chronic tension headaches happen more often. A tension headache can last from a half hour to a whole week.
The Mayo Clinic says the pain may come very early in the day. Other signs can include pain in the neck or the lower part of the head. Scientists are not sure what causes tension headaches. For years, researchers blamed muscle tension from tightening in the face, neck, and the skin on top of the head. They believed emotional tension caused these movements. But that belief has been disputed. The International Headache Society began organizing a system for identifying differing forms of headaches in 1985. The society says there is no evidence that tense muscles are the only cause of pain. So it suggests that tension headaches be called tension-type headaches.
Some scientists now believe that tension headaches may result from changes among brain chemicals such as serotonin. These changes may start sending pain messages to the brain. The changes may interfere with brain activity that suppresses pain. Whatever the cause of the headache, people do not enjoy the experience. Treatment can be as simple as aspirin or other painkillers, but if your pain is too severe, you will need a doctor's advice.
A website called familydoctor.org provides information from the American Academy of Family Physicians. It offers suggestions to ease or end a tension headache. For example, it says putting heat or ice on your head or neck can help. So can standing under hot water while you are getting washed in the shower. The group also advises exercising often. Another idea is taking a holiday from work. But you had better ask your employer first.
Ask anyone with a cluster headache, and they will tell you that the pain is terrible. The Cleveland Clinic in Ohio says the cluster headache can be many times more intense than a migraine. Cluster headaches usually strike young people. Smokers and people who drink alcohol often get such headaches. Men are about 6 times more likely than women to have them. The Cleveland Clinic says this is especially true of younger men. Doctors say cluster headaches often strike during changes of season. Cluster headache patients describe the pain as burning. The pain is almost always felt on one side of the face. It can last for up to 90 minutes. Then it stops. But it often starts again later the same day. 80 to 90% of cluster headache patients have pain over a number of days to a whole year. Pain-free periods separate these periods.
The Cleveland Clinic says the cause of cluster headaches is in a brain area known as a trigeminal autonomic reflex pathway. When the nerve is made active, it starts pain linked to cluster headaches. The nerve starts a process that makes one eye watery and red. Studies have shown that activation of the trigeminal nerve may come from a part of the brain called the hypothalamus. The Cleveland Clinic says injections of the drug sumatriptan can help. Many other drugs could be used. For example, doctors say breathing oxygen also can help. Thankfully, modern medicine has ways to treat almost all of our headaches.
This program was written by Geraldine Watson. Our producer was June Sims. For Barbara Klein, I'm Steve Ember. Visit us at learningenglish.voanews.com, where you can find transcripts and MP3s of our reports. Join us again next week for more news about science on The Voice of America.